place to go. Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go. Have no place to go.
510, here we go. Show number 1,501. Boy, if you missed yesterday's show, it was something else. Did you guys know that we could do a parade live in studio?
It's kind of cool.
It was cool.
Where did the confetti shoot out from? I'm still confused about where that came from.
Got to be honest, it was a medical miracle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm just shocked the elephants made it through the doors.
Now, the indoor fireworks, not a great idea. But we put the fire out in the newsroom, and as far as we know, everybody's okay.
And those balloon floats were a problem.
Yeah, but there's no wind up here.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it was okay. True. They could fly.
Sorry,
low ceilings, too.
Sorry I popped that one. And, didn't mean it.
Yeah, you popped Mickey.
Oh, no!
Thank you again for the $1,500 bonuses as well.
Yes.
That was very nice.
Yes.
Well, still waiting for my hat, though.
It's the least I can do.
Was John Williams upset about the cleanup?
Not as much as his producer was. Yeah, because John kind of passed it off. Anyway, along with the parade, of course, a special guest, Madonna, stopped by, which is weird because I didn't even know she was a fan of the show. Oprah was here all morning long, all part of the 1,500th show.
And she was giving away a lot of stuff.
Yeah. She wanted to give away all of her favorite things. So it was a little bit crazy.
And Julie Andrews even stopped by.
Julie Andrews was here. Dean Richards, plastic surgeon, was in.
Oh, geez.
And, of course, Billie Eilish, Orion's favorite singer, was here as well. Anyway, great celebration. Now we're on to 1501 as the show continues. Pat Brady's in a little early today. Chuck Todd's on assignment. And we'll try to find out where we go from here architecturally. There's some very specific things that have to happen during this impeachment process. There's secret handshakes. There's robes and cloaks. There's a lot going on. Bridget Gaynor will join him in the 7 o'clock hour. Dean Richards later. Dean took a terrible fall, terrible spill. He was walking across Michigan Avenue, and he stepped in a pothole, and he face-planted, like on the sidewalk, like face first. He broke his wrist trying to break the fall. And he messed up his... this is a story he's telling.
Yeah.
And he messed up his fit. What a trooper, though. He's back at work. I would have milked this for at least a week off.
Yeah.
So what's he looking like this morning? I haven't seen him
yet. He looks pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just have some makeup on.
We have our Steve Cochran Christmas card by phone. I'm doing Christmas cards by phone because I don't feel like sending out Christmas cards. Are you getting as many Christmas cards? People don't send them anymore.
I haven't received one yet.
Really? Yeah, I've gotten about, I don't know, 10, 15. People are late this year because, you know, we didn't have that extra week. I haven't sent mine out yet, if you're waiting.
I think the volume's less, though, isn't it?
It kind of gets less every year.
Yeah.
More pictures, less cards with people just saying, have a great Christmas. You know, it's like, okay.
What was that sound again?
Have a great Christmas.
You know?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I love the pictures, like I said. The pictures and... And the you know, letters. I still like the letters.
The health letters?
Yes.
Yeah. This year, we all had Ebola.
Yeah. I can't wait for Tom Peterson's letter. He always sends a great letter every year.
He's always so optimistic.
Yes. It's always hilarious.
And Chicago's own Jane Lynch is appearing this weekend in a show at the Row, and she'll be on later as well. We have tickets to Beauty and the Beast. We also have a $100 gift card to Four Winds Casino, so you can go and get your gambling on. At 6, make it 5:13. I wish I was up at 6. Kelly Davis joins us from Channel 9. Good morning, WGN TV's own Kelly Davis.
Hey, guys. How are you?
How about that for an introduction?
It's pretty nice. Thank you.
So when people greet and meet you, is it cool if they just go, look, it's WGN TV's own Kelly Davis?
Chicago's very own. Yep.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, you got kind of a cool story you're covering today. Tell people.
I am, yeah. We are in Des Plaines where they are having the huge feast for Our Lady of Guadalupe, and it's actually the second largest shrine in the world next to the original in Mexico City. So hundreds of thousands of people are gathering out here. They started Mass last night at 6 p.m., and they're doing 24 hours of Masses. So there actually is a Mass going on right now at St. Joseph Chapel, and another one at 9 a.m., and all the way till the closing Mass this evening at 7 p.m.
It sounds ridiculous because, you know, when this originated, you wouldn't ask a question like this, but do you recommend Mass Transit?
Yes, actually, they do have some shuttle services over here because people have to park all over the place. So there were shuttles running through the night, but I believe the last shuttle was for the 5 a.m. mass because the overnight masses are the ones that are the most popular, believe it or not.
Is that right? You know, Andy, the three wise men took a train. I don't know if you know that or not.
I did hear that. Yeah. I did hear that rumor.
I have not heard that one yet.
Yeah, no, it's true. You can look it up. You know, it's on one of the internets. All right, Kelly. Well, we appreciate the help. And, of course, you'll cover that all morning on Channel 9 during the WGN Morning News.
I sure will. Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you, too.
And standing by is Nick DiGilio. You know, Nick, when I was told I'd be getting up earlier, you can imagine how thrilled I was.
Yes, I did. First thing popped into my mind was how thrilled Mr. Cochran would be starting at 5.
But then it occurred to me, you know, when I came back, Nick and I had radio magic every day. He'd finish his show, he'd hang out for a bit on my show, and we don't see each other anymore.
And No, we don't.
I thought, how great is this? A rekindling. It's Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin getting back together. And we didn't even need Frank. But instead,
who's who?
And that you got to be, maybe that's not the best.
I'm sober now, so I got to be Jerry.
Yeah, you got to be Jerry. I'm Dean. Yeah. And then I found out that we're running the 4 o'clock hour of WGN TV. By the way, the 4 o'clock hour of WGN TV is fantastic.
They do a great job,
and it's well worth your time if you're on your TV. But I was just disappointed that we wouldn't even be able to play radio.
I know, me too.
Look, when they throw me out of here and I do my fake show in the basement of my house, you can come by and do that.
Oh, okay.
No. See a movie last weekend?
We did not. Nothing really opened last weekend. There were no big movies that opened last weekend. So we my parents and I skipped. But we're going to see Richard Jewell. This weekend, the new Clint Eastwood movie, which is actually causing a lot of controversy about whether it is accurate and whether they played with history and so on and so forth. But I'm looking forward to it.
It's getting some great buzz. And the star of the movie is this unknown actor, relatively speaking, who plays Richard Jewell. Am I right about this? Wasn't he in the Tonya Harding movie?
He was. He was Googly. Googly's friend.
And he was great.
The sidekick.
He was hilarious.
Total scene stealer.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I assume he's great in this from what we've heard.
Yeah. No, I hear it's great. And I'm seeing it on Saturday. I'll tell you, of the movies that are opening this week, I've only seen one. And it's absolutely one of the best movies of the year. And I'm going to say a sentence, Steve. And here's a sentence that I never thought I would say in my life. I want you to think about this for a second. Seriously, the sentence I'm about to say would have never been uttered by a human being.
I think I know what it is.
Until I saw Uncut Gems.
Yeah, I think I know what
Adam Sandler deserves a Best Actor nomination.
Bingo. That's exactly what it is. Yeah, no, listen, yeah. You're not the only one saying it, man. All over America, people who know.
He's unbelievable. He's unbelievable in this movie. And Uncut Gems is one of the best movies I've seen all year. It is truly incredible. And it opens this weekend. It's about a gem salesman who is a gambler, who's a gambling addict. And it's about this insane time where he's trying to get money that he owes and pay back these people and run from the mob. And Kevin Garnett is in it. It's ridiculously good.
And it's entertaining, but not funny necessarily, right?
No. It's not a funny movie. It's not a comedy at all. It's sort of an intense thriller. And I'm telling you, Adam Sandler is phenomenal in this movie. It is a shockingly great performance.
And he doesn't play his own sister?
No, not in this one, because he has a goatee.
Okay, good.
He's not going to do that. But no, seriously, it's one of the biggest surprises of the year is how good he is in this movie and how truly he deserves an Academy Award nomination. I don't think he's going to get it because the SAG Award nominations came out. He didn't get one. Golden Globes came out. He didn't get one. But I think it's one of the best performances of the year.
I hope he does. Yeah. Jumanji, The Next Level. Couldn't be less interested.
No, me neither. But the first Jumanji movie with, I was going to say Daryl Hammond, with around with The Rock and Kevin Hart, made an absolute ton of money. So, of course, they did a sequel. The first one, I don't even know. I thought the first Jumanji movie back in the 90s with Robin Williams was kind of entertaining. But yeah, the last one, and this one, I don't care.
But the kids will love it. The kids will be out there.
Yes, they will. It'll make a ton of money. It'll be number one at the box office this weekend without question.
And what's Black Christmas?
Black Christmas is the second remake of a classic horror slasher movie from 1974 called Black Christmas, which, of course, as you know, is one of my favorite movies. They did a sequel about 10 years ago, or I'm sorry, a remake about 10 years ago. It was horrendous, and I have no idea why there's a second remake and why it's rated PG-13. But yeah, and they wouldn't screen it for critics. That's and the buzz on the people who have actually seen it say it's terrible.
But that is not your favorite Christmas movie of all time. I believe your favorite Christmas of all time is The Ref.
It's The Ref, yeah, without question. I love that movie. The Dennis Leary comedy, Judy Davis, Kevin Spacey, Christine Baranski. It is hilarious and real. Because that's what families are like at Christmas. And I adore that movie. It's my favorite Christmas movie of all time.
And it's hilarious is right, because Dennis Leary breaks in and ends up being taken hostage by the family he's taken hostage.
It's so good.
It's very funny. And what are your plans for the holiday? Is your last show Friday?
No, I go all the way up till the 22nd.
Oh, you do? Okay, me too.
Yeah, so I go another week and a half, and then I'm off. And the plans are just to hang with my folks. You know, we're going to hang out. We're going to do the gifts. We're going to see a movie on Christmas. I'm not sure which one we're going to see yet, but we always see a movie on Christmas. So,
yeah, we used to do that, and then my kids grew up.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I'm going to have to get an investigation going. And anything you want to plug on your own show?
Well, on the show starting tonight at 11 o'clock, going till 4 a.m. I'm 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. now. I got a longer show, even though I don't get to hang out with you, but I do have a longer show now.
Yeah, you do.
Kevin J. O'Connor, Chicago actor, great guy. He's been in the Mummy movies and a bunch of other stuff, including There Will Be Blood. He's got a new movie coming out. They're going to screen at Facets tomorrow night and Saturday night. He's going to make an appearance there. He's going to be on the show tomorrow night.
All right, buddy. All the best.
Okay, man. Take care.
See you. That's Nick DiGilio. Coming up after 6, our friends at Goodwill have given us a bunch of white elephant gifts. It's a great place to get your white elephant gifts. And Mary, I'm putting you in charge of this. Next week, we have to pull names for our, what do we call it, Secret Santa? Is
that
what
Secret Santa. Mm-hmm.
And it's a Secret Santa where I'm insisting the limit is $10 and all the stuff you buy has to be from the dollar store.
Boy, we're getting late in this.
Yeah,
I'm almost done with my shopping.
Yeah.
Can we move this to January, like our holiday lunch?
No, this has to happen next week.
Okay. So what do we have to do? Pick names?
Yeah, we just have to pick names, but I'm waiting for Dave Bennett to get back because Andy doesn't have $10.
Yeah, I don't have 10 bucks.
No. Well, how about if my mic's on? Big O likes to upgrade your agribusiness. I was literally doing the show without the microphone being on. And you know what a good time to do that would be? I think it'd be good right now.
Good morning. Soybean futures down yesterday as investors took profits. This coming after 6 days in a row of higher prices for soybeans. Wheat and corn, however, dropped on technical selling. So the Board of Trade screen was all red. December wheat down 5¾ cents a bushel. December corn down 6¼. January soybeans ended the day down 9 cents a bushel. Turning to livestock futures, cattle futures higher yesterday, rebounding from the downturn on Tuesday. Traders said that signs of strength in the cash market added support to the strength in both live and feeder cattle prices. February live cattle futures ended up 75 cents a hundredweight. January feeder cattle up $1.12 a hundredweight. Lean hogs for February delivery fell 25 cents, and the contract faced some technical resistance at its 20-day moving average, a level it has not closed above since November 14. Other notes, let's take a look at the lean hog contract. The February contract down 20 cents a hundredweight, but the December live cattle contract up 72 cents a hundredweight, and January feeder cattle ended up $1.27 a hundredweight. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue in the air and on the road again today. He'll be spending this day in Nebraska and Iowa meeting with farmers, and the main discussion will be the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
It is 5:41. A couple of stories that are out there. This New Zealand White Island volcano story, as the details are coming out, is just a nightmare. That honeymoon couple you may have heard of, 36 and 32, actually probably saved their lives by hiding behind a big rock down near the water as opposed to running, because those that ran inhaled the volcanic ash and steam. There was somebody who had respirators. I'm not quite sure how this happened, either a rescue boat or something. They were given a couple of respirators and then put on a boat. And the two people that got them on a boat to get them out of there were running a tour boat that had already taken off. The Hopkins family runs a tour boat. They left White Island shortly before the volcano erupted. As soon as the volcano erupted, they knew it was bad, and they turned their boat around to go back and get survivors. The boat's crew made that decision immediately, even at their own peril. They could see people in the water, people swimming off the island. Hopkins, who is manning the boat, is a New Zealand pastor. And he was on the vessel with a day trip with his daughter, Liliani, who works with the company as well. The 23 people who were brought on board, according to Mr. Hopkins, all had horrific burns. Skin falling off, hanging from fingers, chins, elbows, obviously in tremendous pain. Hopkins and his daughter both trained in first aid. They did what they could. He said one crew member's look of expression will never be forgotten. She just looked up with tears in her eyes and said, "We need all the help we can get." The newlywed couple I was speaking of, Matthew Ure, 36, and Lauren Barham, 32, are from Richmond, Virginia. They were on the island during a day trip from their honeymoon cruise on the Royal Caribbean Ovation of the Seas. The woman could still talk for a period of time before she passed out. She said, "I remember I asked her name and she struggled to say it. He said it for her and said, 'She's my wife.' She would ask, 'How's my husband?' He would ask, 'How's my wife?' Their love for each other touched him, and he prayed for both to survive. There are times when I'm praying, he recalled, 'You are not going to die on the way back. You are not going to die.' She looked up at the pastor and said, 'This is the worst day of my life. And I had to say, yes, it is, but you've got so much more life to live.' And then she said, 'I think I'm not going to make it.' And he said, 'You are going to make it. You're strong. You're a fighter. You're going to get through this. You've got a future.' Yuri and Barham are being treated at two different hospitals, one in Christchurch and one in Auckland. New Zealand has four specialist burn units. They're now all full in the wake of the disaster. The burns on this honeymoon couple are extensive and are going to require massive surgery. 80% burns on the body of the husband, 33% believed on the wife. And it's a long, long recovery, but they are alive. There was a family of four that died, a couple of boys, and actually the mom was from the north side here, and they moved back to Australia where the dad was from for his job a few years ago. And they were in New Zealand visiting, also tourists, and all four of them died on White Island. And there's a couple of bodies still left behind there. There's so much carnage that's gone on that human skin has had to be ordered from the United States, 120 square meters of human skin, to treat the burns of these victims. It's incredible.
And it's horrific. And there's an update just now coming into the newsroom on this, Steve. New Zealand's military says it's going to embark at dawn there. So it's 12:45 in the morning in New Zealand. So when it hits dawn there on Friday, it'll be Friday there, they're going to go back to the island to try to recover the eight bodies that they believe are still there.
And there's a renowned seismologist who said he believes the volcano is due for another eruption as soon as today.
Now, there's a 40 to 60% chance of that.
We're back with more in a moment. Coming up after 6, Goodwill, top 6 at 6, Pat Brady, Bridget Gaynor and Pat Brady after 7. Chuck Todd is on assignment today. Dean Richards after 8. Our today's Christmas card by phone is Annabelle. And then Jane Lynch. Jane Lynch, Chicago's own Jane Lynch. She's at the row coming up a little bit later on. Speaking of Hochberg, Hochberg is sponsoring my New Year's Eve shows at the Row and also at the Tivoli.
Uh-huh. That's right. You're doing the day-night doubleheader, right?
That's right. The day-night doubleheader. All right. You must pick one. You must pick one. Tell me which one you'd like to hear. I only have 1 minute here. What did I miss?
We have that thought leader conversation.
Oh, I forgot about that. We're going to save You Must Pick One.
You forgot about the thought? The thought was...
Remember, I wasn't here last Thursday? But here are two of your stories, and I know you're going to like this. Pigeons in tiny cowboy hats and dogs that want to play fetch and you don't want to. Those are the two stories. And two of the three, anyway. Stand by for those. What do we need for an introduction for this, Steve? For the your thought leader conversation.
I'd just say something like, now here's the thought leader conversation sponsored by Associated Bank.
Now here's the thought leader conversation sponsored by... You do it.
Well, you have to do it. He's throwing to himself, though.
Yeah, I know. It's fun.
Associated Bank.
We're here this morning with David Fowler, SVP of Capital Markets at Associated Bank, and our thought leader conversation this morning. David, welcome back to WGN. Good morning.
Steve, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
It is election day in the UK, and I know we want to start our conversation with that. We've talked to you a number of times in the past about Brexit, the Britain's exit from the European Union, the UK economy, and it all sort of comes to a head today with the election, doesn't it?
It does, or at least... You know, as Churchill said, you know, this may not be the beginning of the end, but it could be the end of the beginning. What we hopefully will get today is some kind of result where we get a majority, or at least a majority, or a clear minority government that will have a majority in combination with some of the smaller parties, so that some kind of decision can be made. And I think that's really what most people in the UK are looking for. At this, they are so tired of this whole, you know, Brexit performance that some kind of certainty, either they're going to leave or they're not going to leave, and there's going to be another referendum, but some kind of certainty.
The polls say that Boris Johnson is likely to win. The polls have been wrong a couple of times in the past, though, in the UK.
Well, they were spectacularly wrong the last time in 2017 with Theresa May. Certainly, I think the Conservatives will remain the largest single party. The real question is going to be whether they get enough to hit that 326, which is the minimum for a majority. As you know, there are 650 seats in the House of Commons. One seat goes to the Speaker of the House. But 326 is really the minimum. That seems to be the real key. If the Conservatives come up close to where they are right now, which is just around 300 seats, then it's going to be another situation where can Labour get... You know, the SNP, the Greens, and a few other people to coalesce with them in order to put them over the line to have a working majority. But there are a lot of people who, the kind of smaller parties, that won't coalesce with Labour. There are also a lot of people, a lot of the smaller parties that will not coalesce with the Conservatives, including the SNP, which will probably be the largest of the small parties, so to speak.
The two major candidates, Corbyn and Boris Johnson, they're not really liked. Neither of them are well liked. So we have sort of a situation like it was in the United States in 2016, don't we?
We do. You know, it is the kind of the lesser of two evils for many people. Obviously, there are some real diehard supporters of both, but both candidates have been very alienating to large portions of the population. You know, as was seen last week, I think it was, during a TV interview when they had a debate and they were talking about trustworthiness, and Boris Johnson was asked, you know, does the truth matter? And he said, yes, of course. And the audience broke out laughing. You know, not exactly what you need. And Corbyn has... People have issues with Corbyn, particularly with some of his stands on some of the more kind of extreme aspects of the Labour Party.
Investors here in the United States will be watching the results of this very closely. They've been hoping to have some final say, some final word on Brexit. Talk to us about why we need to be paying attention to this as global investors.
Well, I think there's a couple of things, really. The first one is that I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but, you know, as I kind of started off by saying, this may be the beginning, at the end of the beginning, even if the Conservatives get a clear majority and the withdrawal agreement is passed, and, you know, everything is ratified, this is only the beginning of the real process, because the negotiations between the UK and the EU on a kind of permanent trade basis start now and must end within this time next year. So there is a lot of uncertainty that's going to come between now and the end of next year. For investors, this is, you know, the UK is a large economy. There are a lot of you know, the U.S. has got a lot of foreign direct investment in the U.K. But also, you know, while Brexit obviously is going to impact Britain, it's also going to impact on the European Union. And we have potentially a trade war coming between the U.S. and the EU. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I think it's important to remember is that the U.S. exports three times as much to the European Union as they do to China. Imports from the European Union are roughly the same size as imports from China. So, you know, we all have kind of seen how the trade war with China has impacted on the economy here. If something like this happens with the European Union, then, you know, and the Chinese situation hasn't been rectified, then it can be quite significant.
David, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Well, you can always call us on the trading desk, which is 866-524-8836, or you can always email me on david.feller@associatedbank.com.
David, always a great conversation. Thanks for coming in this morning.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
David Feller is the SVP of Capital Markets at Associated Bank. It's our thought leader conversation this morning, sponsored by Associated Bank. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Thursday, December 12th. Producer prices for November are due this morning. Analysts are forecasting an increase of 0.1% over October and 1.2% over November of last year. Producer prices at 7:30 this morning, Chicago time, along with weekly look at first-time claims for unemployment benefits. Economists expect to see nearly 211,000 people filed initial claims last week, which would be about 8,000 more than the previous week. We'll also get a decision on interest rates in the European Union today, and of course, the UK general election. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday, December the 12th.
So again, I promise you at some point, pigeons in tiny cowboy hats, and Steve, you're going to love this one, an automatic fetch machine for your dog.
Oh, man, I'm torn. See, you had me on the cowboy hats. That was going to be my pick, I think, and now I'm torn on this one, the automatic fetch.
Because honestly, admit it, there's times, as much as you love your dog, or you don't want to play fetch.
I just want to watch my shows on TV and let him play out in the living room.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the dog comes in, and you, hey, want to play fetch?
Well, the ball.
Coming up on News Time Now, and then we will do our Goodwill gift thing. I think this stuff is wrapped. We're going to open these White Elephant gifts coming up and tell you how you can get some, because this really is the best idea for your own White Elephant. All right, here we go. 6:09, and the folks from Goodwill want you to know if you need White Elephant gifts, you ought to go there. They appreciate the fact that you appreciate them, and it's a great place to pick up your White Elephant gifts. They can be fancy or not so much. Here's the story, by the way. Many centuries ago, the king of Thailand made a practice of giving rare albino elephants to rulers of neighboring countries that displeased him, so they might be ruined by the animal's upkeep costs. Therefore, the hilarious presentation of the white elephant. All right, so everybody's got a white elephant gift, yes?
Yes.
We do. Let's tear. Yes.
Oh, right now?
Yep, right now.
Oh. Well, wait. I have to use a scissors.
No, you're not supposed to have scissors, Mary.
Oh, my God, it's heavy.
Definitely don't run with those.
How did you get a pair of scissors? We took all those away.
No,
oh, I got something that you're definitely going to want here.
No, I need them for protection.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cute.
Nice. All right, so I got a golf game. It's called Old School Golf Swing.
Aww.
Oh, this is actually pretty cool.
I also got a golf thing.
What's yours?
An electric putting partner.
Do you golf?
Yeah. Well, I do now, Mary. Yep. So when you putt, it shoots the ball back to you.
Oh, yeah.
$100, bro. Those are fun, except you're probably going to play at work now.
That's what Kevin did when he was on the show. He'd lay on the floor and he'd shoot the ball back to me when I putt.
Steve, what'd you get?
It's called Old School Golf Swing. It's a game. It's basically a toss game. It's like Bozo's Buckets, but with a golf ball and a bucket. And Andrew?
I have received a micro baseball complete 1991 card set from Topps, celebrating 40 years of baseball. These are mini picture cards. 792 are included in this package.
Lucky.
Wow.
That's nice. Mini cards. That's cool.
Yeah, mini cards.
I've never seen that before.
I've never seen it either.
But don't let your mom sell them. You know how that works. Moms always sell the baseball
good
cards.
Good point. Don't tell Dave, and I'm going to take these.
And Vivian, what'd you get?
I got a martini glass. What? Hello.
Seems like that would have been meant for Ennett.
Yeah.
Want to trade?
Did Andy get a gift?
Yeah, Andy got Andy's gift.
I got Andy's gift. I'm taking it.
It's for working today. So if you want White Elephant gifts, we highly recommend our friends at Goodwill to get that done.
All right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Did you see my guy?
Yeah, what was heavy about it?
He's a cookie jar. Isn't he cute?
Oh, that actually is nice.
It's like
that
a gingerbread nice, yeah. man cookie jar. It was $3.99 at Goodwill. They left the price tag on.
That's pretty cool. What a shame that you can't. What's the shame? What's the shame is you can't take it.
What? We're swapping?
No, you get to keep it. You do get to keep it. Yeah.
Oh, they cleaned it. Thank goodness.
So, hey, good news. I've eliminated two of the top six at six stories, and both of them very important news items, to throw in pigeons and tiny hats and the automatic fetch machine. So when we come back, those stories will be a part of the top six at six. But first,
now for some more news. Ready?
Welcome to the top six at six.
What?
On the Steve Cochran Show.
That is great radio.
This is your first look at what people, animals, and assorted fruits and vegetables will be talking about today.
Item number one, if you live in Madison and thought a casino was coming right next to your kid's elementary school, not so fast. Officials in Madison could be looking for a re-deal in their bid for a coveted South Suburban casino license. There have been weeks of complaints by groups that say the casino site is too close to schools. Officials said yesterday the Madison Village Board is expected to vote next week to choose a new site for the proposal within the Madison area. How are the kids who don't have driver's license supposed to gamble if the casino's not close to them? They can only bike so far.
Uh-huh. Uber.
There should probably be a no casino zone around a school. Does seem logical. Next! Metra CEO Jim Derwinski said yesterday that Metra is going to possibly end the practice of allowing passengers to pay cash fares after they board the train. So you know how that works. You hustle, you get on the train, and you pay for your ticket on the train. You're going to have a credit card because the cash is taking too long. So, Derwinski said a cash-free system would allow conductors to eliminate some of the additional costs that come with working with cash.
And a lot of times they're so busy, they just, you know, pass right over you.
Just let you ride?
Well.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is a problem with this. The cash-free places that have gone cash-free, like, for instance, McDonald's, with these cash-free kiosks that they have, they're actually losing business, losing lots of money from people who only deal with cash, and there are a lot of people that still do that.
Yeah, there are people that don't want to deal with credit cards and don't want to deal with paying the bill afterwards or racking up big interest rates. That's the one thing, by the way, if you use a credit card at McDonald's, pay the bill at the end of the month. Otherwise, your quarter pounder is going to cost you about $75. Next, a new concert venue is set to open next year, early next year, as a matter of fact, in Pilsen. 3,800 seats, so you're talking about Chicago theater size, maybe even bigger. The 3,800-seat radius will be part of the 55,000-square-foot multi-purpose event space. You ever been over to Pilsen lately? There's a lot going on.
I have not, no.
Yeah. The building's exterior design features murals by Lefty Out There, Thank You X, and Nichos. You familiar with their work?
I'm going to get more familiar with them.
Thought you might.
Yep.
Next! For the first time in 40 years, General Mills is adding heart-shaped things to Honey Nut Cheerios and the original Yellow Box Cheerios. So, you know, you've got your regular Cheerio shapes.
Right.
Little full circles. Right. Oat circles. They're going to do heart shapes as well. Go ahead, ask me why.
Why are they going to do heart shapes?
Because they want to propel heart health conversations. Because I think we can all agree, when you get up in the morning, you're eating a bowl of Cheerios. Once you get your heart-shaped Cheerio, you're going to say, hey, honey, let me take a minute here, and let's talk about my cardiovascular system.
As you add more sugar to your Cheerios.
Yeah, first off, could I get more sugar?
That always happened with the Lucky Charms, too, right? With the wasn't there a heart-shaped marshmallow in there?
Well, they were magically delicious.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. By the way, that's coming in January, so please save all your heart health conversations until then. For the people at General Mills, okay. Okay, nice try. Next! Well, there's an automatic fetch machine for your dog. You can find iFetch Original, which is ideal for small or medium dogs. That'll throw a ball 10, 20, or 30 feet. Cost you $115 on Amazon. If you have a larger dog, look for iFetch 2, T-O-O. That's $200. This model has a rechargeable battery, can last up to 300 throws. The model can launch the ball 10, 24, or 40 feet, or a custom option if you don't have that much room and it's snowing outside and you want to do it in the house. They even offer slobber-proof balls.
Oof.
Because you know what it's like. You play fetch with your dog all day. You go pick up the nasty tennis ball, which has been slobbered on. All of this from iFetch. If you search iFetch on Amazon, you'll be able to get it. Steve, this looks like it looks like a kid's toy, like a toddler's toy. It's a white plastic oval shape, like a ball-shaped deal with a funnel on one end, and then a sort of a gun a barrel on the other end.
What's the velocity of that thing?
Not sure, but the dog, literally, you train a dog to drop the ball in the funnel. It goes into the little circular ball-shaped guy and then fires out of that barrel, and the dog goes, runs it down, brings it back, and does it again. And then forgets you even exist.
Yeah, then it just probably shoots out some food at the end, and that's it.
That's it.
No more human needed.
So again, it's iFetch if you want to get that for your dog. And I promised you pigeons and tiny cowboy hats. I have them for you now. Las Vegas residents spotted two of these birds around town in tiny cowboy hats this week. Nobody seems to know how the birds got the hats. I would say you're drinking one night at the blackjack table. Next thing you know, you win a little money, you go out, you buy tiny cowboy hats, and you put them on. Who hasn't seen a pigeon playing blackjack? Mariah Hillman, co-founder of Lofty Hopes, a pigeon rescue group. Let me ask you a question. Do we need a pigeon rescue group?
I'm going to go ahead and answer that. No.
We don't want to rescue them?
No. You know why? There's a lot of pigeons. Yeah.
They're very messy.
Anyway, when we saw them today, you could see some loose feathers in the glue around the hat. She said, it's definitely a concern. A concern? It's hilarious. The rescue group put out traps to try to nab the birds. One of the birds was dubbed Chuck Norris in the red hat. The other was Calamity Jane in the pink hat. The birds have become their own social media sensation, with Las Vegas residents looking out for the two pigeons with hats. There's no other explanation for this other than Bradley Cooper and one of his buddies.
Oh, yeah. Zach Galifianakis.
Were loaded, and they got tiny cowboy hats. They caught the pigeon. They put them on their heads.
That was a great band in the 80s, though. Pigeons with hats.
I just got to ask, how does this hat stay on its head?
Well, they said it looked like it might have been glued.
Oh. It has a little strap underneath, little elastic strap.
And once the pigeons are near a window or any sort of glass and they catch their reflective image, they go, look how jaunty I look.
Wow.
I mean, have you ever been happy you saw a pigeon? No.
No.
If you saw a pigeon in a tiny cowboy hat, you'd be happy.
Now, are we sure this is real and this is not trick photography?
No, I'm looking at it. Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's on the internet, Steve.
I know, you're right.
Put that hat on the pigeon? How'd you like that job?
Again, Zach Galifianakis and Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, those are the only ones. Drunk. Yeah,
those are the ones. And that is your Top 6 at 6.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
We'll take a break, come back, get set for the second half of the 6 o'clock hour. Woo, 6:24 already. The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. All right, so a couple of baseball questions here for our baseball man, Andy Mazur. The winter meetings are about to end.
Correct.
We've had three gigantic signings.
Mm-hmm.
None of them have affected our teams.
No, not directly. I mean, the one that happened last night, Anthony Rendon, third baseman signing with the Angels, could set forth a domino effect as far as third basemen are concerned, and might see Chris Bryant moved if the dominoes fall in the right places.
Is there a new rule where everyone has to make $35 million a year since these three deals are all coming down to that?
Only if your agent is Scott Boras, who has accounted for, as we counted off the air, almost $900 million in deals this winter.
Which, based on your basic 10% agent commission, is $90 million for him in a week.
Correct.
Now, that's over the course of years, but
right.
Still. It's a good week, either way.
He had a really good week.
So how did teams can look? I know how much it costs to run a baseball team. Mm-hmm. I've seen the books. The profit margins are not what people think, because it's extremely expensive to do 81 games a year of big old stadiums.
Yep.
Food, beverages, and obviously the big expense, the cost of the players.
Yep.
How can you afford to pay a guy $1 million a game, and that's what these pitchers are going to be making?
Comes down to two letters, T and V.
Is the TV deal that good?
Pretty much. I mean, the deal that the league got with Fox a few years ago was in the billions. So that gets distributed equally through the 30 clubs. And, you know, each team has their own deals as well where they can make some cash. And, we end up paying for it. I mean, you go to a baseball game, you're going to pay for it.
Well, the Cubs are going to have a big buy-in from fans on their new network.
Exactly.
Do we know how much the network's going to cost for Cub fans?
I've heard nine bucks a month,
yeah. Something like that.
And I've heard even if you don't want it, you're still going to end up paying something for it because the cable company has to carry it.
So they make a part of their standard carriage fees. Yeah. All right, so the White Sox end of this is their games will still be on NBC Sportsnet?
Correct. NBC Sports Chicago. And, of course, here in 720 WGN.
Of course. You don't really need the video.
Nah.
Yeah, just listen to the games here. And the White Sox, I remember last year in spring training in Arizona, standing in Arizona, telling those guys, I said, this team's got a shot at 500. Well, not quite. They were 20 under. Is this a 500 team this year or better?
This could be a 500 team, maybe even a little better. If again, health is the biggest issue, and with this team, pitching is always an issue. You'll get that with any team, obviously.
You can't be in a position where you have to score six runs every game.
Correct. And I know a lot of fans are upset about the fact that the only deal that got made was the Nomar Mazara trade. But, you know, keep in mind as well that just because it's the winter meetings doesn't mean you have to do the deal there. A lot of deals are set up there and executed weeks later.
So beginnings of deals.
Correct.
Okay. So who would you say if the White Sox were to get anybody in the near future it would be?
Well, I mean, there's still some free agents out there that that they're interested in, at least from what you read and what you hear. I mean, Nicholas Castellanos is one guy that's out there still, a right fielder that can play a little baseball, as they saw on the north side last year. There's other guys out there. And you don't know exactly what teams are thinking about who will be available through a trade until all the dust settles from the meetings and they find out if they've got, A, the money to sign a free agent or if they need to make a trade.
And let me ask you this, and then we'll break for news.
Okay.
If the White Sox do make a major deal, is that a signal they're going for it this year?
Yeah, I would think it is because the division's down. The division is not in a place where...
There's no reason to believe Minnesota's going to win 100 games.
It's going to be difficult for them to repeat that. And obviously Cleveland is kind of thinking about trading their top player too, Francisco Lindor. So we'll see how that works out.
Chris Bryant's available. Can the White Sox make a run at him?
Yeah, it would be really interesting, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Yoan Moncada has played second base before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Say thanks for all that. Coming up, why does Santa live in the North Pole? First, let's say hi to our friend Pat Brady. Good morning, Pat.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
I'm good. I learned something new this morning. I congratulated Andy on the 12 days of Hanukkah.
That was nice.
Explained to me that it was only eight. So thank you.
So basically, that's Hanukkah and a half. Is what you're talking about.
Yeah, your eight and candled situation must be quite something.
So I apologize, Andy.
No problem.
All right, so just a couple of quick things on this impeachment process as it goes forward. What happened last night?
Well, there was a debate, opening statements on they call it the markup. It's basically they're drafting up the language of the articles of impeachment, which there will be two. Which, in criminal law terms, that's basically the indictment against the president.
So if the indictment against the president is obstruction of Congress and abuse of power, isn't there specific language that already goes with that?
Yeah, but then they put in more specificity what the actual...
What
he actually did. So the abuse of power relates to the phone call and the actions with Ukraine. The obstruction of Congress deals with the fact that he told people not to testify or help the committee that's investigating this because his... counsel said that this is a sham proceeding. Basically, the president says, I don't recognize this as being a legitimate proceeding.
The Republicans today are trying to do what to stop it?
Basically throw as much mud against the wall as they can. They can't stop it. This is like watching a Harlem Globetrotters game. The Globetrotters are going to win.
The Republicans are the Washington Generals
exactly.
In this analogy?
And they're going to win. And so they're going to vote, I think, tonight to vote out of the Judiciary Committee for a full House. So that it needs 21 votes, so 50 plus 1 to get out of the House Judiciary. It goes to the House floor where there'll be a big debate, a long debate, and you need 50 plus 1 there to 218 for the articles to be agreed to or pass.
There's a Democrat majority on the committee as well?
Yeah, 24-17.
Because you have the majority in Congress?
Yeah.
Or in the House, I should say.
They call it the ruling party controls all the process.
Okay. So it gets out of the House probably Monday, Tuesday, and goes to the Senate. The Senate then gets out of Washington late in the week, and McConnell tables it till January?
Probably, yeah.
There's
nobody in the Senate that wants to stay over Christmas.
Yeah. Well, they work hard. So the McConnell news today revolves around a number of things, and one of them doesn't make any sense to me. But it seems, and Steve, jump in on this if you have a different read, but McConnell not only wants to not throw Trump out of office, and there's no reason to believe Republicans will defect and do that, he also wants to find a way to clear Trump's name in this, which, Steve, I read is like the equivalent of an expungement of the impeachment that he's about to face.
Yeah, I think the Constitution is pretty clear on how this is supposed to work, and Pat would know better than I do, but I think what I learned in school about the Constitution is you have a trial and you either convict or you acquit, and that's the only choice the Senate has, right?
That's my understanding, too, and I think it would be unusual for the Senate to be able to overrule or expunge an action of the House. It's not. It's all laid out in the Constitution, not in great detail. There's a lot of wiggle room, but that's a unique approach. But the reality is McConnell wants this, Senator McConnell, done as quickly as possible, so maybe just arguments and not witnesses. And the president is saying that he wants a full-blown trial. He wants to testify, which is completely ridiculous. He does not want to testify. He does not want a full-blown trial. They want this done. And I think right now, if you want to check out winners and losers in this process, I think the Republicans actually have won through this process in both public opinion and in the local races that matter, and with the president. Whether you agree or disagree with what they did or how what the president did politically, I think the Republicans are going to come out ahead on this.
In the long game here, what's the first thing you think of when I say Bill Clinton?
Well, that's the there's a couple ways. The historical perspective of this, he's going to be the third president of the 45 we've had that's actually been voted, had impeachment articles voted to get impeached. And yeah. I think historically, Bill Clinton, the way they said it, they don't talk about partisanship. They talk about the allegations themselves. It was about a line about under oath about an affair with an intern. But I think with President Trump, I think it's going to be more damage to him long term legacy wise, because this is all about actions with a foreign government trying to get them to interfere with our elections. I think historically, 50 years from now, you're going to look back and this will look worse for him than it did for Clinton.
We'll come back and tell you why Santa lives at the North Pole, Andy.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you why. Coming up. You know, there's good schools.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Good values.
Good neighborhoods, yeah.
Snow.
Yeah. You can check out Santa's place on Zillow. I don't know if you know that. We have tickets for Beauty and the Beast at the Paramount coming up this morning. Also, a $100 gift card to Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo. All right, kids. Sit around the radio. Oh, you're driving? And let me tell you why Santa Claus lives at the North Pole. Do you know why Santa Claus lives at the North Pole? Anyone? Anyone? Anyone?
No.
It's far away from everyone else.
That would be the typical Mary Vandeveld answer.
Well, no, he has to concentrate and he has to oversee everybody.
So he doesn't want to be near the in-laws?
Yeah.
Right. According to a recent, before I get to it, I get to this. According to a recent report, 83% of U.S. consumers plan to shop online for holiday gifts this year, but the FBI perceived and received nearly 300,000 online theft complaints in 2017, with reported losses totaling $1.4 billion. Before you click the buy button this holiday season, remember that some websites are created by people who just want your credit card data and other personal information. It's important to understand how cybercrime is affecting our lives. Identity theft is a serious issue. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds, and you could miss certain identity threats if you're only monitoring your credit. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your Social Security number for sale on the dark web. And while we know nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, we know this. LifeLock's going to see stuff that you're going to miss on your own. Join now. Save up to 25% off your first year. Call 1-800-LifeLock. Or head to LifeLock.com, use a promo code LifeLock. Be like me, be a member. I rarely encourage you to be like me, but I'm telling you now, be like me. Be a member of LifeLock. The promo code LifeLock at LifeLock.com for up to 25% off. Use a promo code WG or promo code LifeLock at 1-800-LifeLock. That's a promo code LifeLock at 1-800-LifeLock or LifeLock.com. Here's a story. Santa, we've always known that Santa lives at the North Pole. And according to Smithsonian.com, a cartoonist named Thomas Nast, who, by the way, is the same guy that came up with the donkey and the elephant symbols for the two political parties, the Democrats and the Republicans. What was the symbol for the Whig party? Like George Washington's wig?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah. He borrowed imagery from Clement Moore's 1823 poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas. And Nast then, and I want to be careful how I say this, because if we have any young talk radio listeners here, I want to make sure that I'm careful with this. Nast then helped discover Santa, the all-around jolly guy today, and showed him passing out gifts to Union soldiers as they returned home from war. So in other words, We didn't discover Santa until 1863. Did you know that?
Did not know that.
What did kids in 1850 do? They didn't even know about Santa. They'd wake up in the morning, there'd be presents. They didn't even leave them out beef jerky or whatever they had then for snacks.
Did they have St. Nicholas?
I don't know.
Why hit him?
I just feel badly for the kids of 1850. The cartoons as described were so popular that NAS branched out into source material and began adding details to the innovation of the discovery of St. Nick. On a December 29, 1866 issue of Harper's Weekly, there's a multi-image cartoon called Santa Claus and His Works. Includes a small inscription along the circular border that reads, Santa Clausville, N.P. Now, the New York Times, we don't know exactly when they added this, said N.P. stands for North Pole. NAS didn't argue.
Ah.
So between the New York Times, the cartoonist, and our own imaginations, Santa Claus lives at the North Pole. Now, if you've ever been to the North Pole, and it's beautiful this time of year, you can't get into Santa's place. It's a gated community. You know, you got another guy at the guardhouse.
I've seen it from the air, flying to Hong Kong.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Fly right over, yeah.
Yeah. Santa Claus, always widely associated with snow because most of the publishing companies producing Christmas cards and other content were located in New England. And wintertime seemed right. You know, it wouldn't be right if they said July 14th is Christmas. You know, Santa Claus comes out in a Tommy Bahama shirt and Bermuda shorts.
Wouldn't be a good look for him.
It's not a good look. That's not what you want. And instead of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you know.
Camel.
Camels and
no, is cold the cause of the nose? Or I've got some relatives that have red noses, but
I don't think Rudolph's a drinker. No, I really don't. And Santa Claus, from that point on, caught on in nation to nation, country to country, town to town. Santa Claus lived at that point from the North Pole, and you know it's kind of worked out.
Yeah,
maybe the NP meant Northern Persia or something.
Nurse practitioner.
Yeah, exactly.
No, of course it meant North Pole. And do you remember at what age you thought you heard Santa? Because we all thought we heard Santa at one point or another. 7, 8 years old, 6 years old.
You still hear Santa.
Hear a little rattling around?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, you hear Santa because Santa's real.
Uh-huh. Yes, he is.
Yeah. My kids still do lists.
Yep.
As they should. You guys are going to get a visit from Santa coming up before the end of next week.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. And Santa, at this point, and I talked, and we're both tired of trying to figure out creative items for each one of you. So this year you're all getting canned hams.
Yes.
Remember canned hams? Canned hams used to be a Christmas thing.
With the spiral key.
Yeah, exactly. Crank, 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 crank.
And now
all the water comes out.
Yeah.
Now it's just a retro beer. Can. And you get a ham.
Oh, canned
can.
H-A-M-M-S?
Yeah, yeah.
Look at you. Smack yourself. I can't reach it from here.
Ow.
It's 6:53. So there you go. That's why Santa lives in the North Pole. And I think the biggest bit of news that you got out of that is Santa's only been known to us when he was discovered in the early 1860s. And you think this show's not educational. Show number 1501. Continues in a moment on 720 WGN. Something called Reviewed.com has come up with the 20 best gifts of the year. Would you like to know what they are? You know, you still got some shopping to do. Nobody's done shopping, are they?
No, no way.
Yeah. Most of these are names you'll know. Apple AirPods comes in on the 20 best gifts. The Instant Pot. Isn't it the Instapot?
Instapot, yeah.
Yeah.
Still big.
The RoboVac. This is called EUFY, the Eufy RoboVac 11S. So this isn't the one that you always hear about, the Roomba?
It's not mm-hmm. like my Hazel.
Hazel's the Roomba?
My husband's Hazel, yes.
You sure Hazel's not code for something?
Yeah.
Anyway, the Eufy RoboVac from Amazon is $239. I think the Roomba's more than that.
Yep.
Yeah. The Away suitcase. This is from the Away Travel Company.
Is that the one you can plug in your phone to?
Yeah, but I will warn you that a lot of airlines are telling you can't, check batteries anymore. So just be aware of that. Something called the gravity blanket. Weighted blankets have become increasingly popular. The gravity blanket is a heavy blanket that can help you take your little nap. The Kindle Paperwhite made the list. This is the best e-reader out there, they say. And the Paperwhite makes the letters pop off the page if you don't see like you used to. The Straub, I'm sorry, Staub, as in Rusty Staub, S-T-A-U-B, the Staub cast iron 5.5-quart round coquette, or C-O-C-O-T-T-E. What is that, cocotte? Cocotte?
You're looking at the wrong person.
It's a cooking pot.
What did you say? What was it, C-O-what?
Were you listening to another show?
No, I spell it again.
C-O-C-O-T-T-E.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, there you go.
Cocotte?
It's Dutch is what it is. A Fitbit Charge 3, said to be the best buy for your money fitness tracker. It's $100.
I think I'm getting one of those, maybe.
The Sonos One speaker. If you're looking for one of these small speakers, you can pop around anywhere. Boots from L.L. Bean. These are all Christmas gifts people will love, according to Reviewed.com. An Ancestry DNA kit. I have to say, when I bought all you guys, the women on the show, I got them all the 23andMe thing, mm-hmm. the women and me. And you remember one of the things they said about me was that I had like a 68 and 70% chance of having a sprinter body type. That's pretty much when the credibility went out the window. Did you like that 23andMe? Did you do anything with it, Mary?
I found out I was in Neanderthal.
Yeah, well, we knew that. The Echo Show 5. The Echo Show 5 is like a baby monitor, as far as I'm concerned. Provides a compact design and bonus of a screen. It's basically a smaller, more affordable version of the previous show. Next level up from the dot. Small screen makes it easy to see timers, get news updates, make video calls, things like that. The Inno Gear, upgraded diffuser. You know what a diffuser is? Aromas that spray out of your room. A lot of guys want one of those.
I want two.
The Philips Air Fryer XL.
For good things about the air fryers.
Yep, throw them in. The Roku streaming stick from the people at Roku. Sony noise-canceling headphones. A rapid egg cooker from a company called Dash. Technivorm Mocha Master. This is, a coffee maker, making your favorite mochas. The NinjaFit personal blender. Making one glass at a time.
A lot of appliances.
Yeah, a ton of them. So, anyway, those are things that are guaranteed to not get taken back, as far as we know. It is 7:10, two of my favorite people in studio, Bridget.
And Andy.
And her imaginary friend. And Andy. Bridget Gaynor, how are you?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Excellent. I brought my imaginary friends.
It's all good.
Just in case.
Yeah, see him.
I just saw Bridget last Friday at the big Irish fellowship luncheon.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Bridget, was at an Irish function?
She's like the mayor. Amy Walker.
There's Bridget. More importantly, Pat sat next to my youngest sister and gave her a tip on how to maintain a 0.9 alcohol level at a long family party in case you need to, can't fall asleep. Can't get boisterous.
It's a real balance.
It is a balance.
And brother Kevin's helped me with this. It's two glasses of wine right out of bed and just stay there all day. But then you never get. That's a good holiday.
Do you pour them into Cheerios or you just have them straight?
Whatever it takes.
Yeah, no question. J.B. Pritzker, the governor, did something last night that I don't know. You guys may have seen coming. I didn't see coming. He gave $5 million to a committee that's trying to push forward his tax plan. Anything funky there?
Well,
it's his money.
It is his money, and he believes in it, and he put a lot of political capital. So some people put political capital, some people put financial capital. I guess, you could say that someone who calls upon the relationships or other things they've been able to do for people over the course of time to get them to go along with the program, is that any more transparent, less transparent, more okay, less okay? I don't know.
I really don't know.
Right out there. Everyone knows what he thinks about it. It's not like you have to wonder what his agenda is. And I always feel like if you know someone's agenda, it's half the battle.
This is the Vote Yes for Fairness Committee. It was formed in August. And the governor's $5 million will go towards putting out, propaganda. No, putting out commercials and different things to support his tax plan.
Yeah, no problem with that. But the tax plan is they're going to amend the Constitution of the state of Illinois to make it a graduated income tax so Springfield gets to determine what the tax rates are. It won't be a flat tax like it is now. So their argument is going to be the argument that the governor is going to make, and I agree with Bridget, he's been very transparent about this, is we need to tax the higher earners, but then they're going to leave it to Springfield. You're going to trust Springfield to determine who are higher earners and how much they should be taxed.
Am I nuts? Well, in general.
Well, yes.
In general?
I mean, narrow it down for us.
Why not fix the tax code so that the high earners have to pay and the people in between pay a fair share as well, as opposed to just saying we're going to collect as much as we can from rich people.
Well, that's fundamentally the argument, I think.
It is the argument. That is what they are saying, which is if you make more, you pay more. If you make in the middle, you pay something that you can afford. And if you don't make much, if anything at all, then you shouldn't pay much, if anything at all. That
these
is
folks are
the fair
supposed
tax
to be,
plan.
These folks are supposed to be politically savvy are approaching it completely wrong. If you talk about fixing the tax code as opposed to the rich people are the bad people,
yeah,
that's a different argument.
Well, and that's what Bridget just explained, too, that's going to leave it to Springfield now to determine who's wealthy and who's not.
Well, it's not like they don't handle money well, Pat.
Well, exactly. I mean, there was one proposal. I think anybody over 60 grand would see a tax increase. But just on the other side of the aisle, maybe it would be nice if we had a discussion about running government more efficiently. Maybe we can fix our pension system, which is the driver of all our debt and deficit. But we don't hear much about that lately.
I always remember, 10, 12 years ago, the whole thing on the ballot was going to be a combo, which was you're going to reform pensions and you're going to change the tax code. And the two of them went together. And now, and I think, one of the questions you have to ask yourself as a Republican, and you may have a view, is why are there so few Republicans elected in the state? And is it gerrymandering? Is it just that the state's gone totally blue? Is it not enough candidates? Because it's never good to not have balance, and we don't.
No,
have
that's
balance.
And that we're seeing now in these corruption investigations that it's not good to not have balance because there's no accountability. I agree completely. To answer your question, in 2010 we elected two constitutional officers. I think we picked up 8 or 9 in the House, 3 or 4 in the Illinois Senate, and Mark Kirk won President Obama's old Senate seat. So it wasn't that long ago. In fact, in the 90s, when we actually Lee Daniels was Speaker of the House, so I think it's a combination of gerrymandering. But back to that issue you mentioned, if you truly want to reform the tax code, then you need to also amend the Constitution to reform that provision, which doesn't allow diminishing pension benefits. It's not that you don't want to honor promises, but we just can't afford it. As you know, Bridget, you work this every day. We can't afford it.
Let's pick that up when we come back. And we also have this little impeachment thing going on, which is fairly big. It's kind of crazy, right? I mean, it's impeaching the President of the United States, and everybody goes, so what are you guys having for dinner?
They voted to impeach the president, and then they passed his massive trade bill on the same day. Right. It's kind of like, I want a divorce, but let's go to Hawaii.
Yeah. Hello. It's 7:19. All right, so this the Springfield scandal situation, we seem numb. We seem just numb to, of course, there's trouble. If there wasn't trouble everywhere in politics, then we'd be paying attention. So what is actually going on with scandal reform? Is Madigan in trouble? What's happening?
Yeah, long story short, it's increasingly clear the scope of this federal investigation, which has been going on for a long time, appears to be focused on the Speaker of the House.
This is a guy who somehow has managed to stay on the edge of getting into trouble for his entire career. Why now?
Well, I think you had a very aggressive prosecutor in John Lausch and the previous Zach Farden, who was the previous U.S. attorney. I just think that the chips kind of fallen in place where there's people now. They wiretapped his top aide, Mike McClain. There have been several other raids. I think people are cooperating. And what the focus seems to be is how Springfield operates. And I think they're trying to piece that together and some kind of criminal charging. Now, I don't know where they are. I don't know if they're ever going to get there, but that's clearly where they're going.
Okay, you two have been around politics a long time. You have every right to be jaded about the process. Is this a legitimate effort to finally clean things up and you know, send some messages so that things change, or is it just a temporary fix?
Look, I think that, you know, and I think it remains to be seen whether or not the speaker actually told. I mean, to me, some of the most egregious things that have gone on have been, like, you know, lobbyists that want to curry favor giving money to the guy who was sexually harassing one of the staffers. But there's no evidence that the speaker ever actually told people to do that. Do you have a bunch of people whose livelihoods depend on hanging around outside of this rail who say, I'm going to do something because I think it's going to be a good thing, even if it makes absolutely no sense, and anyone who thought for 4 seconds would have stopped and said, you know, that's bananas. So you have all of these free actors out there. The question is, can you actually prove that someone was directing them?
Wasn't that the core?
I think it's a big effort, and I think it's real, and I think that things will change, and I think they're going to have to, because yeah, I don't think people feel about Springfield now the way they did 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's already changed. But the component that Bridget's talking about is just a minor component of it. The bigger one is whether or not relates to ComEd and the rate increase in the 2016 legislative year, whether or not they were currying favor with the speaker and his people by putting people in no-show jobs, hiring people that were on the speaker staff. And yesterday, the big story was in the Hill reported that they're now actually asking questions, and I don't know what the answers are, about the role of the speaker's son in selling municipal insurance to entities all over the state. So to me, the way this looks, as a guy that used to do this for a living, it looks like they're putting together a RICO case, which is, and that, and when Bridget says we don't have evidence that the speaker actually told somebody, that's what the purpose of this statute is. You get a criminal enterprise.
That's what takes it from shady to illegal.
Well, shady to illegal is an intent thing. I don't want to get too much in the weeds, but that's how these cases are put together. And insofar as, and
but I'm not talking about appearance shady to illegal. Shady being, well, he shouldn't have done it. It looks bad, but he did it. It's not technically illegal.
Well, if you're using your position to curry favor for yourself, meaning you're going to get your political operatives jobs, you're going to get your son work, that's illegal. And again, I agree with Bridget. They're a long way from getting there, but I think that's where they are going. But this is the first one I've seen in recent times where the focus is clearly.
And no connection between the alderman and Ed Burke to Springfield?
Not apparently, but they could all be linked. Depends on how they want to charge it up. I don't think there is, but there's the Sandoval investigation, and then there's the what they're looking at with the speaker, which is more related to ComEd, and that's where they did the search warrant at City Club and some other places. So, but again, long way from being there, but I don't necessarily agree that they're going to have to get somebody saying the speaker directed me to do this. If you create that culture, it's known that everybody, you have to behave this way in order to curry favor with the speaker and get your legislation through. I think that could be enough. And this is not apples to apples, obviously, but Charles Manson was convicted for 6 murders. He never killed anybody.
Well, and isn't this the core of the Trump
problem?
Wow,
that was a quick leap.
Charles Manson was only Illinois speaker for 2 years.
So who is Sharon Tate in this story?
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to cast that. The Trump situation is the same, direct evidence versus circumstantial, because all these guys, if they're proven to be guilty, seem to be, I'll tell you to do something, you'll go out and do it, and then I'll deny I had anything to do with it.
And that's what the RICO statute was enacted for, to take down the mobs in the 70s, and that's how they used it, and they used it effectively. But this argument that direct evidence is better than circumstantial is nonsense. Most cases are proven on circumstantial evidence, and in the Trump matter, there's plenty of direct evidence, including an admission by his chief of staff that we do this all the time.
Yeah, I remember sitting on a jury where a woman on the jury said, how could I convict him? I wasn't there. Well, we're judging evidence, direct and circumstantial, to make that decision.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I think that the investigation will play itself out. The thing that I think is actually more important is, how are you changing the incentives for people to behave that way? So when you leave your office in Springfield, why isn't there a prohibition of a certain period of time before you can go back and lobby your former colleagues? So if there was,
or how about being an elected official and lobbying other government entities?
100%. So if you take away the incentive for people to do the things they shouldn't be doing, and you make that part illegal, then you don't have to worry about what happens 3 or 4 levels beyond that. When you leave the legislature, there's a cooling off period that's substantial enough that you can't go right back in.
2 years?
2 years, 3 years, who knows? But the point is, you want to have a citizen legislature that's filled with people who do lots of different things. You want doctors, you're obviously going to always have some lawyers, you want people in business, you want people who've done a whole range of things. You don't want it to make the most sense in the whole world for you to become a lobbyist, because people are rational, and they're going to seek out the things that benefit them the most. And if that's the problem, then cut that off of the pass and stop trying to influence things, you know, 5 years.
But wouldn't that rule have to be made by the people who are benefiting most from that rule?
Yeah, well, and no, I think they're going to make it.
The legislators, and they will, and I agree with that reform, but the reality is what they're looking at here really is not lobbyist behavior. This is behavior from the if you believe where the feds are going or where I described, it's not lobbyist behavior. This is elected official behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Too much power concentrating in one person and abuse of that power.
Right, but there was a lot of people who were considering, if you look at that 2016 legislation, they were on the committees that were considering that legislation and then left and went to work for ComEd. So if you know that you can do something in a short period of time,
sure,
it may affect your behavior.
Absolutely. And there was money that was paid to entities that I think was probably that's passed throughs to. But this is where it's currying favor with the guy in charge. That I mean, again, this is just where the investigation is going. I'm not saying they've proven that yet, but I know that the lobbyists are taking the hit on that. And I'm a lobbyist and I'm all for all that legislation. But that doesn't solve the problem that happened here.
It's 7:27. We'll take a break, come back, get your headlines. And yes, we'll get to that little impeachment story as well on 7:20 WGN. Coming up on News Time here, and then we'll come back more with Bridget Gaynor and Pat Brady. And the question that is out there, is it okay or isn't it okay? That's what it comes down to. Is it okay or isn't it okay? You can really apply that to anything in politics. Is it okay or isn't it okay? Bridget Gaynor and Pat Brady are here. Eric Adelson's on assignment. We don't know where. He hasn't been on in a couple of weeks. Has Eric quit the show, Super Joe? Do we know? What's the report?
He has not responded to me in weeks.
Okay. Right.
Also, I haven't texted him. I think Viv is the one that talks to him.
All right, we'll get into negotiations with Eric. We like Eric.
He just had his birthday, so happy birthday, Eric.
Yeah, no, he'll be back. We're just teasing. All right, so a lot of what the Republican argument seems to be, and Pat, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, in regards to this impeachment is, but others have done it. It's not only okay. It's not a big enough deal for an impeachment. Is this enough distraction and noise to make people look away from the fire?
Yeah, I think they've had success with that, just diluting the argument. Like Bridget mentioned, the legislation that passed, but the Republicans, I think, wisely dropped the Horowitz report right in the middle of this, so it distracts people's attention away from that to bad conduct by the FBI that's... explained in that report. So, yeah, I think they have had some success, but they never argue the substance of what the president did as being proper. They just argue things around it, and that's typically what you do if you're a defense attorney, is throw as much mud against the wall as possible.
How are people not supposed to be cynical?
I think they probably are. I'm not sure if they're not tuned out, too.
And this just drives more people away.
Yeah,
I mean, you could count on one hand the number of times in the last 6 months where you'd go, well, this is good for the voters. This is good for America.
No, and I think there's a lot of politics involved here. You see Lindsey Graham, who was one of McCain's guys, up there leading the charge yesterday on all these allegations and things he's saying. But I don't think it has anything to do with right or wrong. I think Lindsey Graham probably thinks that Trump's not going to win and he wants to be the nominee of the Republican Party in 2020. I think Ted Cruz is doing the same thing because... these are smart guys, and if you listen to what they say, it's nonsense.
They're smart and totally craven and self-interested.
Yeah, that's a,
so. I mean, like,
yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Look, this is the general thing. I don't think like the world is changing. People are more cynical. They're more checked out. I think 99% of the time, people are interested in what's happening in their own life, their own job, their own kids, or whatever. This thing is happening in the background, and at some point, you have to stop and intervene. But up until that point, you're like, it's playing out, and it's fine, and I don't have to pay attention yet. And I think that that's what this is, and it's not a abdication of our role as citizens.
But do you think that it's odd, because it does feel odd to me, that we're not paying attention to an impeachment?
Well, look, I remember the Bill Clinton impeachment, and I'll be honest with you, I felt like that was a little bit bananas, because the subject matter was so not important to the nation.
Lying under oath?
I mean, come on. Like, are you comparing these two things?
Well, yeah, because lying under oath is a felony. And he lied. It's clearly lied under oath. I'm not defending Donald Trump, but he lied under oath.
I mean, it's
so
all...
I guess my context, I wasn't in the first... I didn't pay attention. I wasn't around the first couple.
I was on that committee.
Were
I'm just
you?
Kidding.
Yeah. I have no context to figure out, you know, I was younger then and wasn't really... thinking of it in the same way, so I don't know if this feels very different than the Clinton impeachment. I just think that we have an election coming up. People know that they can make their own choice to exit this guy out of office as they want. And the biggest part of the entire thing for me is, are the Democrats going to put forward somebody who enough of the people around this country are going to look at and say, yeah, you know what? I'm comfortable with that woman or man.
Well, as I've said before, if the Democrats cannot figure out how to beat Donald Trump twice, good night.
No, it's, you know, I mean, so you have some people who are way too far to the left, and then, you know, you have some people in the middle, but I don't know if they're going to, you know, Buttigieg is really young and Biden's really old, and is there some way in the middle that we can bring this party together? I don't know. I don't see it yet.
No, I don't know that I do either. But the cynical side of voters means that do we have 100 million people that don't vote again? That's what happened in 2016. 100 million people didn't show up.
Turnout in this election.
I don't think it's going to be. I think it's going to be enormous amount of turnout in the election. I think the thing that suppressed a lot of voter turnout is that people just assumed Hillary was going to win. So why bother? And
that's why she lost in the states that she lost.
That's why she lost. But it was an assumption of a total victory as opposed to, I don't care.
It was she's like, talking I don't about need making a comeback. As a Republican, that's great for fundraising.
She's going to run. Oh, is this the Howard Stern interview?
No, but every day you read another quote from, I'm getting a deluge of phone calls that people are dying for me to run. I'm not sure if that's just friends
or family. There was a poll this week. I don't remember the source, but it was a legitimate poll that put her in the top three Democrats right now. I mean, it's not hard to believe based on name recognition, but I can't fathom a scenario where the Democrats would go more run with Hillary.
No way. That's bananas.
Oh, my God. You know what, though? If Trump loses and the Democrats do win and the Republicans keep the Senate, the gridlock and the fighting is just going to continue.
Well, but that's just it. When does it end where there's actual good being done and their jobs are being done for the good of others? Because the thing, I always fall back on this. I've asked Senator Durbin this. How good is the job, really? Because a lot of your colleagues have to go home and they have to look at wives or husbands and grandchildren, and they have to explain why they've sold out at a level that's so transparent. I don't get it. Where's the self-worth? Where is any sort of pride in ownership other than the fact that you get a nice table in Georgetown for a steakhouse?
Yeah, I think, though, and Bridget knows a lot of the same people. I do believe there are a lot of very good, including Senator Durbin, very good public servants.
Well, I'm not knocking Durbin.
But there are a lot, and I think from the conversations I had with, at least on the Republican side with my friends, they're scratching their heads, too, on this guy. We're just kind of stuck right now, and I'm not...
But I don't give a break to any, and the same. I would make the same statement about any Democrat too that does this, because I'm not a Democrat. But I would. I don't give any Republican a break on this. If off the record and behind the scenes are going, yeah, we can't stand him, but I need him for my job. That's not what you're in Congress for.
Well, I need him for my job, or I need him to protect the policies that the party is supposed to stand for. I mean, I think that's the rationalization.
It's a stretch.
Look, the thing for me that's always a mystery is not why does someone want to stay in a powerful job where people, kiss your behind 24 hours a day. I get that part. The bigger thing is, don't you want to get more stuff done? Like, you have one life. And I have, obviously, this, tiny role in politics on the Cook County Board. But the thing that makes it interesting is that you get to accomplish things that you otherwise wouldn't get to accomplish. If you were just running around fighting all the time...
100%, because I'm allergic to meetings, and all these people do is live in meetings and discussions, and nothing happens.
Well, I'm 1,200 pages into investigative reports in this administration, and I'm pretty much done reading those things. There's not much more.
Again, Pat Reed, so we don't have to. We're talking about the impeachment, and holding on very patiently is Pat. Let me get this, Pat. Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Good morning.
What do you want to say?
Well, I totally disagree. Well, I'll say I slightly disagree with the fact that people aren't paying attention with this, because I am one of the people who the Republican Party has lost. I am a suburban, former Republican, educated woman whose friends, and I talk about this all the time, we just cannot get over the fact that the Republicans cannot see what is happening. And I really think out there people are listening and people are watching and people are concerned.
Well, I hope you're right. I appreciate that point of view, and I'm very glad you're paying attention. And I hope you're right about all of it. Thanks for calling, and thanks for listening. Thoughts?
I'm Pat, which is a fine name, represents to me what the biggest threat of Trump Republicanism is to the Republican Party. Suburban women are paying attention, and they can't stand him. And that's what cost us two congressional seats in the last election. And will continue to cost the Republican Party in this state elections until we figure out some way to appeal to women like Pat.
And I think it's kind of what we were saying earlier. They are paying attention, but they're not intervening because their time of intervention is the election. And this is the moment where they're going to have power. And right now, how do you as an average citizen influence the impeachment? I'm not going to protest there. I'm not going to, I can't, I'm too busy to spend all day watching it. Having said that, I know I'm going to be able to vote, and I'm going to support someone who's opposed to all this stuff. And that's what I think a lot of people are thinking. And
I agree completely. And women have been weaponized, suburban women. I mean, they're the most.
What, with the vote?
With the vote. With this, the power of their vote in this next election cycle. I mean, that's where the election's going to be won or lost, suburban women in all the suburban areas.
So in 1998, Pat, you and I were 38 years old. I felt Bill Clinton, who was, I think, was a great president, I thought he should have been thrown out of office because I thought he took the level of the office down a notch, and we continue to take it down a notch. And the president that's currently occupying the White House has certainly taken it down again. Will there ever be another time in America where we hold the president to the highest of standards?
Well, I'm worried about it's going to be kangaroo court kind of stuff because there was one impeachment in the first 200 years of the country. We've had three in the last 50. So if you start using it as a political tool, not really a mechanism to remove somebody that's done wrongdoing, it's a bad development.
Yeah, I don't really think it's fair to say that the Democrats are using impeachment as a political tool right now. There's a lot of wrongdoing that needed to be investigated. And as we said last time, listening to those diplomats, those super serious people that never want to be on TV talking about why this is bad for us, that those are issues that had to be aired. Now, you know, we'll agree or disagree on whether Clinton needed to go through that impeachment process. Having said that, I don't think that these are, you know, tiny issues that could have been, that they're just using a political weapon.
I agree completely, but I think that there are other, and this is where you do have I'm not sure if you have an obligation to necessarily do impeachment when you have a constitutional violation in their oversight capacity. They could do censure. They could have done something short of that. And I think what happened with the Democrats and the politics of it is the moderates broke in favor of doing this, and that's what forced the speaker's hand to bring the. And if they really were sincere, and with all due respect to my friend Bridget, about upholding the Constitution, then they should have invoked impeachment the minute the Mueller report was read, because there were clearly things in there that were illegal the president did that he should have been impeached for, but they didn't.
Yeah, but you're kind of saying two things, because I think Nancy Pelosi didn't want to get to the place we are now. And was there mechanisms without going, you know, to the nuclear option, which is impeachment? And I think she waited and waited and waited. And at some point it was too much, because it makes it look like you're either a dupe and they're totally getting over on you. It's kind of like the movie Casino. Fantastic movie, when they, you know, the guy gets fired because the slots go berserk, and his uncle comes in the next day and is like, hey, you know, he wasn't a bad kid, you should just let him. And De Niro says, look, he was either in on it or he was too stupid to know what was going on, and neither is acceptable. And it got to that point, and Pelosi, if she didn't take the action, you either look like you're in cahoots or you're an idiot.
That's a political decision.
But that's my concern going forward, is we've reached a point in this country where the line of what's okay keeps getting moved.
Yeah.
And if you keep moving the line of what's okay is back, I don't care who's in power. You know, but everything to death. At some point, it's got to be black and white, and it's not okay. And I think the president of the United States, whoever, Trump, whoever's next, they ought to be held to a higher standard, and we ought to be able to expect more out of them than using the office for personal gain or trying to use it to help a campaign or any of the other things that have been thrown up that are provable.
Okay, I just have to say that I just got a text from my mom who said, I mean, Pat Brady is way too smart to think that cheating on your wife is the same as undermining our national security and leaving Ukrainians to die.
Well, Mrs. Gaynor,
I'm just going to say, here we go.
Not that, but with all
due, having met Bridget's mom, I would never argue.
I got to argue with Bridget's mom on text, but I will say that.
So just be careful.
She said
you were smart.
Cheating on your wife is one thing. Lying in a court proceeding under oath is another. That was you lie under oath. That's a felony. That's a high crime or misdemeanor.
Well, we had someone lying under oath this year, apparently, and he's now in the Supreme Court.
And I think the next reaction is you make the point that it needs to be different going forward. These elections tend to be reactions to the last occupant of the White House, and hopefully on either side we're going to get, or at least on the Democrat, we're going to get somebody that runs on that we need to do things better. The country deserves better than what we've put through in the last 3 years.
I think we can save it. I really do. I think we can save it. I think we can wash Washington. You know, a little ammonia here and there. What do you do when you have to clean up a dead body, Pat? You would know.
She made the casino reference. I don't know.
Yeah, but that was just covering you.
That I must think of that line, I don't know, maybe once a week.
There you go. Pat, I know you're on the road next week, so Merry Christmas in person before you leave. Are you coming back to see us next week? Bridget?
Of course. Oh, where good, else would
good,
I be?
Good. Okay, good. Cook County Board, Aon. There's lots of other places. But thank you.
Fill my dance card.
Thank you guys for being here.
See you. Thanks.
Coming up, Dean Richards and the radio Christmas card. Again, I don't have time to send out Christmas cards, no, so I call my friends on the show. Annabelle Aval. We're going to call her and see if we can find her wherever she's out and running around this morning. David Hochberg in a quick drop by. We're going to talk about his new show. And Jane Lynch, Chicago's Own, coming up too. All right, it's Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Good morning.
Hello there.
How are you today?
Oh, fantastic.
All right, now, you told us yesterday about your little accident.
Yes.
Where you broke your wrist.
I fractured my wrist.
Isn't that the same thing?
No.
Really?
No, it's just I have a hairline fracture. It didn't break all the way through.
I heard your hand flew off.
It's like when you used to clip your gloves onto your coat.
Yeah,
So you wouldn't lose them.
They'd be floppy.
The gloves would be floppy. That's how my one wrist is right now.
And did you break a rib?
Did not break a rib. No, I have the fractured wrist. And lots of facial abrasions from when my head hit the pavement.
That's what the makeup's for.
Tripped on a pothole. Yeah, our makeup people are fantastic.
They sent out for extra makeup. That's how much makeup they need.
They sent me to Earl Scheib this morning.
Yeah, spray painted his head. About.
But this morning, a new twist to this whole thing.
Okay.
And they told me this was going to happen when I went to the emergency room. I have two black eyes today also.
Oh, yeah, they come in later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, I told you, man, when we talked on Sunday. You got to make up a backstory for this. You got to get some mileage out of this. Mel Gibson beat the hell out of you. He was never ever ready to accept your apology.
I like the story better that Julie Andrews beat the crap out of me. Mary Poppins.
She took you backstage.
Gave me a spoonful of
sugar. Oh, you think that went well, do you? Do you notice how my Julie Andrews is way different than my Queen impression?
You are a man of many voices that all sound like the one.
Helpful texter chimes in with this. When you talk to Dean today, you can tell him the trick for knowing if you're young or old is this. If you fall down and everybody laughs, you're young. If you fall down and people rush to see if you're okay, you're old.
Okay, then I know where I am.
Well, we're glad you're okay. What's up with Harvey Weinstein?
Harvey Weinstein, a lot of people are mad about this. I think I am a little bit too, but he cut a deal with his accusers in the civil case that was filed against him. There were 32 women who filed a civil case against him, and yesterday they announced that a settlement had been reached in which the women will each get a share of $25 million. He is not required to admit any wrongdoing with this. He's not even paying the money. His insurance company
That's ridiculous.
Is going to be paying this money. But it just seems like after all of their criminal charges are still pending, that's a whole nother thing. But to do a financial settlement with this seems to like it flies in the face of Me Too. To me,
I don't entirely understand it. So were the majority of these women represented by one attorney?
Don't know.
Because there would have to be some agreement between attorneys and victims.
Right. Yeah. All the 30 plus women who are involved in this obviously would, I would think there would have to be a unanimous decision on this. And that's a lot of money that each of them will be getting. But, you know, if you file these charges in the first place to make a point as a financial settlement, philosophically, the best way to end this in a civil case, as I say, he is still, up on criminal charges for this. In fact, yesterday, the judge actually increased his bail. He was wearing one of those electronic ankle monitors.
Okay.
And apparently took it off several times.
Wow.
So the judge.
Because it didn't go with his suit?
The judge wasn't so happy about that, so they raised his bail. He is now, he's supposed to have surgery today for injuries that he suffered in a car accident. He's been using a walker, but he's going to be having some surgery today. So this case just gets weirder and more unusual.
I sent you the number for our special Christmas card friend. Will you get her on the phone while we do the round the horn thing here? We're going to come back and say a quick hi to Anna Balaval.
She's not here today.
Yeah, we're going to get her on the phone. We're going to get her. We'll get her next. Dean Richards back with us. We're having trouble connecting with Anna Balaval.
Is she in the United States, or did she go to... She usually goes home to Puerto Rico for the holidays.
I think she's on her burner phone. We don't necessarily have that number. So we'll continue while we try to effort her. She's got to be on TV. You know, that's her main job.
Actually, I don't think I've seen her on today. Mm. That's why I thought she was gone.
Mm. We discussed this yesterday. We had quite a plan. Anyway, Pierce Brosnan is back in a musical. This seems dangerous.
Oh, Pierce Brosnan, please stop.
Stop singing.
Stop singing, Pierce Brosnan. He, well, the story is he's just been signed to be in the new Cinderella remake that's going to be happening, a live-action Cinderella remake.
He's playing Cinderella?
Camila Cabello. It's going to be Cinderella.
Oh, okay.
Idina Menzel is going to be in it. You know who the evil stepmother is? Billy Porter.
For real?
For real.
That's kind of funny, actually.
For real.
That's awesome.
Pierce Brosnan is going to be the prince. God bless you. The
he's going to be the prince?
Not the prince's father.
Oh,
ah,
yeah. The king.
He's the prince of the king. Yeah.
Thank goodness.
I guess that's what you call
the dude with the bigger crown.
Yeah, the bigger crown. But it's a musical, so I have to assume that Pierce Brosnan is going to be singing again. Some of you may remember Pierce Brosnan singing in the Mamma Mia movies, allegedly singing in the Mamma Mia.
He was walk singing.
Movies.
Talk singing, I mean.
I wouldn't even call it singing. You know what? He wouldn't even call it singing, because when I interviewed him, he even admitted that he should have never sung in those movies. So even he admits that he's not a good singer.
I saw an interview where he said he's never watched it and he never will.
Well.
Which you understand.
I wish I could say the same.
Right. Right, right, right.
So anyway, that's going to be coming out in the year 2021. I'm planning on being off that week.
Now, we are all Screen Actors Guild members, proudly.
Yes.
And the nominations are out?
Nominations are out. These are, everybody says that their awards are the ones that are the precursor to the Oscars, mm-hmm. the ones that predict what's going to happen at the Oscars. But really, it's the Screen Actors Guild Awards, which most closely reflect what happens, you know, for the acting categories, at least anyway. Because the Screen Actors Guild Awards are awards given to actors by actors. And the nominations for the best cast in a motion picture, which is essentially their best picture award, are The Irishman, Bombshell, Jojo Rabbit, Once Upon a Time in America, and the South Korean film Parasite, which I have not seen, but everybody's telling me is amazing. So I'm going to be seeing that for best performance by a male actor. Christian Bale in Ford versus Ferrari, Leonardo DiCaprio, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Adam Driver in Marriage Story, Taron Egerton being remembered for playing Elton John in Rocket Man.
He was great.
And Joaquin Phoenix in The Joker.
No Adam Sandler, huh?
No Adam Sandler, which is amazing because he is stunning in his motion picture Uncut Gems, which will open right around Christmas time. For best female performances, Cynthia Erivo, who played Harriet Tubman in Harriet, Scarlett Johansson in Marriage Story, Lupita Nyong'o being remembered for Us, that came out very early this year, Charlize Theron in Bombshell, and Renee Zellweger for playing Judy Garland in Judy. Those awards are going to be January 19th.
And Curb Your Enthusiasm's ready to come back?
The new trailer, the first trailer, has just been released. Take a look at that on YouTube or on the HBO website. There's also a trailer for the sequel to the R. Kelly docuseries that was on Lifetime that kind of blew open the R. Kelly case again. There's a sequel to all of that, and there's a new trailer for that if you're interested. You can check that out.
Your friend and mine, Anna Balaval. Anna Balaval! She's on TV right now. She's at a virtual reality thing, whacking stuff.
Likely story.
Yeah.
Common excuse.
Why she can't be on the phone with us while she's doing the segment is beyond me. So
we should be off the... I believe that she... It's a very quick thing that she does.
Yeah. Well, she should be off right now. Try her again.
Right now.
It's 8:22. All right.
Anna Balaval yesterday... you know, every year she has a tradition. She makes a traditional Puerto Rican eggnog, which is called coquito. And she made it live on the program yesterday, which is like coconut milk, evaporated milk, and lots and lots and lots of rum. Lots of rum. And she made it live on the program, and pretty much everyone was hammered on the show yesterday.
A lot of booze, huh?
That explains a lot about the morning show, doesn't it?
I think it probably does. Tomorrow, are we going to talk some movies?
Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about Jumanji, The Next Level, with Kevin Hart and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Danny DeVito and Danny Glover are both in this movie. Part of the premise of this movie, you know, when they get sucked back into the virtual reality game, you know, they're in this jungle-like setting. But this time when they get sucked back into it, they become each other. So for most of the movie, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is talking and acting like Danny DeVito. Kevin Hart is talking and acting like Danny Glover. It's actually pretty funny.
And Danny Glover can pull that off?
Yes. Danny Glover is talking like Kevin Hart. They like take on each other's personas and personalities.
Wow.
But what's really funny is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, you know, talking like Danny DeVito in the movie.
Speaking of really funny, Richard Jewell, the movie, obviously not really funny. But the guy that plays Richard Jewell is the same guy from the Tonya Harding movie who had the small part as one of the thugs' goofy friends. You know, the big fat guy in the Tonya Harding scenario who was part of whacking Nancy Kerrigan on the knee. And he was hilarious.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. I talked with him this past weekend, or the weekend before, in Los Angeles. His name is Paul Michael Hauser.
Mm-hmm.
He actually went to college in the Chicago area, not Northwestern, like almost all the actors do when they say, oh, I went to school in the Chicago area. He went to Old Dominion College.
I don't know.
For a couple of years and had fantastic Chicago stories and, you know, hung out, was telling me all the places that he used to hang out. But he's very funny, very likable. He does a really great job. That's the other movie that I'm going to be reviewing tomorrow is Richard Jewell. At first, I thought it was about a grocery store.
Oh, you did?
I did.
You thought the Jewels were all named after a guy named Dick Jewell.
I did. Turns out it's about the 1996 Olympic bombing that took place in Atlanta. And
Much less enjoyable.
This overzealous security guard by the name of Richard Jewell, he was the guy that found the backpack that had pipe bombs in it and, you know, tried to warn people to get away. At first, he was considered a hero, but then the FBI and the news media kind of pointed a finger at this guy, saying that he is similar to a profile of the kind of person who would do this, and crucified the guy.
Yeah, I remember. We vilified him.
I remember when this happened. I remember the whole timeline of the story where everybody thought he was a hero, and then everybody thought, wow, he was the guy that did the bombing. And the movie kind of tells that story. Clint Eastwood, who directs the movie, takes lots of liberties in the film. And people are really criticizing a lot of the facts that Eastwood plays with in the movie, one of which is the reporter for the Atlanta newspaper that reported the story, that in the movie they hint that she traded sex for tips on this story from the FBI.
Hey, that's my move.
Which the Atlanta Constitution Journal,
is that the name of the newspaper there? Yeah, yeah.
They say that never happened. The reporter who is in question here has since passed away. But they say that Eastwood completely made that part of the movie up. There are some other facts in this movie that people say are not exactly...
Yeah, it's not cool when you're talking about a real human. Oh, yeah. Look who we found!
What?
Annabelle Laval!
What?
Don't I love how you say my name?
Annabelle Laval.
Annabelle Laval.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you, too, and your whole crew.
This has got Christmas card by phone, because I don't have time to lick a stamp. And
you don't have to lick them anymore. They're adhesive.
Oh, if I'd known that, I never would have called.
No,
but here's a hug. Come here, you. Come here. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
And I know you're doing an around town, so we don't want to keep you. But, Dean, do you have anything for Annabelle Laval?
I was just sharing the story of how you made coquito for everybody here yesterday.
And for everybody, but who got a bottle?
I got a full bottle of it. Everybody else got a little taste. And I got to say, that, like, what lightweights we work with here. Everybody is smashed.
Oh, my God.
After a couple of sips of this. There is a lot of rum in it. But
there is, but it also yields two
my recipe yields two huge bottles.
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, my God, that's so much rum. Well, you want to feel a kick. They were plastered.
They were plastered.
People.
A couple of sips and they were plastered.
That's why that explains it. Because after 9 o'clock, I kicked the TV on and I saw Larry Potash totally deny a cue and go, I'm not listening. You pointed somebody else.
No, it was fun. It was really cool. But Dean has been one of the chosen few that for the last 14 years that I've been a GN gets a bottle every year because he's my agent. He is also my lawyer and my desk husband.
Yep. That's right.
Well, happy, 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 happy Christmas to both of you. Well, Dean, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you so much. Love you, Stephen. Thank
you
for your support year round and everyone in your team.
And Coquito to you.
Coquito to you, amigo. Bye. Feliz Navidad.
Coquito to you.
See you tomorrow, buddy.
Coquito.
News next, 720 WGN. David Hochberg is here, and I don't want to talk to you about your normal business.
Okay.
I want to talk to you about your new radio show.
Yeah, me too.
When is it?
It's starting January 4th right here on WGN Radio after a Home Smart show with Lou Manfredini.
All right, and what's it going to be about?
It's going to be about...
Psychics. You're going to have psychics come in. You're going to predict the future.
We're doing our relationship advice.
You're going to be reading people.
I am going to be actually reading off of people. So the whole concept of the show is that somebody writes on a person. They come in here in their bathing suit because it would be awkward if they didn't have a bathing suit.
Stop it.
Okay.
Stop it.
It's a show about everything that has to do with your home and your financial well-being. I've been doing the show for over 15 years. It's been on a number of different stations. We're finally bringing it to WGN Radio starting on the first Saturday.
And you're excited about that.
I am super excited about it. I've been trying to make this move for a number of years and finally had the opportunity, and we're here. And I just confirmed our guests for the first show. It's going to be MegaPros Joe from MegaPros Home Improvement.
We like those guys.
Tom Janke from Builder Supply Outlet.
We like that guy.
5 miles east of the Oak Brook Shopping Center. We have Amy Kite.
We like her.
Of Amy Kite Realty Empire. And we have the Roy Spencer from PermaSeal.
We like him, too.
So
I know all those people.
They're great people. It's a packed show. And if you've got calls about a basement water challenge, Roy's here. If you've got calls about selling a home, Amy Kite's here. If you have homes about redoing a kitchen or a basement, Joe could tell you how to do it. Tommy could help you design it, and you could buy all the stuff from Tom. The show isn't a sales show. The show is here to answer the listeners' questions that the listeners have that they might be too afraid to ask otherwise or get bad information going to their neighbor who doesn't know anything and looked it up by Googling it.
Yeah, because you can buy your stuff wherever you want.
Right.
May inspire you to go do something with somebody else, but in all likelihood, you're going to like these people.
And it's people that you've heard on the radio. Dykstra Home Services just signed on to be a sponsor. We have JC Restoration, who does mold and damage repair. Lindholm Roofing. Lindemann Chimney signed on. So all these guys are going to be in studio answering the listeners' question that they've heard their ads for years.
And when is it again?
It's going to be Saturday mornings after House Smart Show with Lou Manfredini.
Starting when?
Starting on January 4th from 10 o'clock until noon.
Okay.
And it's going to be packed with information. I hope everybody tunes in. I'm super excited.
Andy, do you remember that song? Chim Chimney, Chim Chimney, Linden, Chim Chimney.
Yeah, it's a good one.
That's a good one.
Great story.
By the way,
yeah.
I also thank you for sponsoring the Steve Cochran New Year's Eve extravaganza.
I'm super excited about that. Almost not as much excited about that. Just a slightly less excitement level than the new show.
Yeah, okay.
But I am just...
Generally speaking, you're super excited.
I am super excited.
It's going to be Tim Benker and John DeCause and Mike Toomey and Tim Walco and me. An extravaganza of good times.
Yeah.
It's New Year's Eve for people that can't stay awake until midnight. If you go to classiccinemas.com, you can order your tickets right there. It's at the Tivoli. Tivoli's got a box office, too. I assume you can swing by there and do it as well.
Great.
Sponsored
theater.
By Team Hochberg and Homesite Financial.
Yes, Team Hochberg, Homesite Financial. And you might as well throw in Home Sweet Home Chicago Radio Show. Throw them on as a sponsor as well.
And if you'd prefer, we're doing a matinee.
Really?
1 o'clock in the afternoon at the Rouse Center in Crystal Lakes. We're going to go from Crystal Lake in the afternoon to the Tivoli at night.
Who's driving?
My crew.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not the Koss.
I got Jay-Z driving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you.
RAUE Center, RAUECenter.org to get tickets in Crystal Lake, and we hope you come out.
Special shout out to Marcus Leshock. It's his birthday today. Friend of mine, client of mine. So
Marcus Leshock from Channel 9.
Channel 9 News.
How old is he?
Just popped up. I can't tell you. That's confidential information. Next, you'll ask me his social security number and how much money he makes, and I'm not telling you that either. So there. How about that?
You do know all that, don't you?
I do. I know everything.
That's going to be part of David Hochberg's new show, How Much People Make.
Yes.
He's just going to release that information.
No, I'm not. It's all confidential. I would never do that. I'm not going to break my fiduciary responsibility, no matter how many times you try to get it out of me. And how much coffee or liquor you put in me.
Well, sounds like there's been a fair amount of coffee this morning.
Yes.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
All right, see you. Friend of the show for many, many years, yet she continues to get younger and more attractive. And to talent, please. Hardest working woman in show business, Jane Lynch. Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, my gosh, that's my favorite introduction. Thank you.
Have you missed me?
I completely missed you. I'm so happy to be on the phone with you and to be home. My spine just snaps into place as soon as I get to O'Hare. I'm so happy.
Merry Christmas. Tonight you're at the Batavia Fine Arts Center. Tomorrow and Saturday you're at the beautiful Rouse Center in Crystal Lake, where we're going to be New Year's Day, or New Year's Eve, I should say.
Huh? Oh, wonderful.
And then two shows Sunday at the City Winery. Those are great venues.
Yeah, they sure are, which also means in the middle of this kind of crazy tour, we have about 5 nights here in Chicago, which is great because we stay right here in the city.
Cool. And you can link all that through your website, right?
Yeah, Jane Lynch Official. Yeah.
And by the way, the song, or the show, I should say, talk about Swingin' Little Christmas. Tell me what happens in the show.
Well, we have an album called The Swingin' Little Christmas that we recorded about 4 years ago. So what we do is, and this is our fourth year, is we go all over the country. Myself, Kate Flannery, Tim Davis, who is our third singer. Kate Flannery was Meredith the Drunk from The Office. And we have a five-piece band, and we do every song from the album. And it's with, of course, assorted buffooneries in between, because, of course, it is Kate Flannery. And we have real tight three-part harmonies and a great big band with a jazzy bent. So it's traditional Christmas songs, but it sounds like an album that was recorded in the late 50s, early 60s. So it's a very classical kind of Christmas show. You know, all the great Christmas stuff that we listen to year after year is the stuff that was recorded back then, the late 50s, early 60s. Your Bing Crosby's and Rosemary Clooney and whatnot.
Sure.
And so it's kind of that, the really tight three-part harmony. And so, I don't know, I just think we're fantastic.
Well, and here's the thing.
It's great fun.
Here's the thing. You and I both grew up in the 70s. And as kids of the 70s, yeah, in the three-channel universe, you got a little Andy Williams. You got a little Perry Como.
Right.
You got some Bing, yeah, early on. And then maybe late 70s, you got a Donnie and Marie special. But did you ever think,
Carpenters,
did you ever think, Jane Lynch, you'd be coming back to your hometown to do your own Christmas show? How cool is that?
Well, if you had told me that, I would have said, that's preposterous, if I knew that word back then.
Mm-hmm.
But I am so thrilled to be able to do it because that, you know, growing up in the 70s, my memories of Christmas are kind of, that's where they're lodged.
Sure.
Is growing up in the 70s. And all of that music that we listen to over and over again, we kind of have a Christmas rotation of music. And I invite everybody to add Swingin' Little Christmas to your Christmas rotation. It's I think, a really well-done album. It was arranged by Tony Guerrero, who is our band leader, and just gorgeous, gorgeous harmonies, gorgeous instrumentation, if I do say so myself, Steve Cochran.
And let me ask you this. Is Kate going to go total dancing diva on you now and insist on dancing since she was so good at on Dancing with the Stars?
She's adding some more steps. And you know what? She blew my mind.
She was great.
She was on Dancing with the Stars. I had no idea. She had no idea that she had it in her, and she does. She has a really fun rendition of King Wenceslas, where she mispronounces it throughout the whole song to the point where she finally says King What's His Face. But she's adding all these great moves now. We're just so impressed with her and so proud of her.
Yeah, well, she's done tremendous. What about Game Night coming back?
Not that I know of. You know, it's one of those things.
It's a lot more work than it looked, wasn't it?
No, oh my God, it was easy. It hosted itself. I just had fun. We're kind of on the bench, so we get called up when they have a hole in the schedule. So we're just always praying for a hole in the schedule.
Right. Well, especially if it's easy money. What about the marvelous Ms. Maisel?
Yes, well, the third season, I was a guest star in the first two, and I'm a regular in the third.
How about
and
that?
It's a blast. You can get all the episodes right now. It dropped on Friday, last Friday, And, yeah, and I, we'll see, you know, if I, I mean, right now let's focus on this season. I don't know if it'll go for another season, but it was an amazing experience. We shot in and out of New York City all summer and spring and summer, and it's such a wonderful show, top to bottom, soup to nuts.
What's your favorite part about being back in Chicago? I mean, you can't say pizza.
Well, I haven't had any yet, but I will. I'm going to do an Aurelio's run later on tonight. It's walking down the street, Steve. Like, I'm right here on Dearborn.
Yeah.
And the minute I got here, I went to Restoration Hardware and had a cup of tea because it's one of my favorite places to go.
It's tremendous.
And I just love it. I just love being here. It's so much fun. I'll be walking down Michigan Avenue. We're going to be on Windy City Live, which I hope I can push on this show.
Of course you can.
Today, we're going to be singing live. Push it, baby.
Yeah, of course you
and
can.
So I'm excited.
Now, here's the thing.
I'm excited.
If you're lucky enough to travel, there's nothing like Christmas in New York, London, and Chicago. Those are three fabulous Christmas cities, but I'll take Chicago every time.
I always say Christmas is the best in Chicago. Nobody does it like Chicago. And I'm looking forward to seeing all the lights on Michigan Avenue. And as you can probably tell, I'm really caffeinated and excited right now about the whole darn thing.
Well, as you well should be. Where will you actually do Christmas? Back in L.A.?
No, I'm coming here. I'm going to come back to Chicago. So I'm after our tour is over, I'm flying back here.
Because you know what's weird? Because I've done Christmas in warm climates, and I grew up in upstate New York. If you grew up around snow, you can never get used to Christmas in the sunshine. It's just weird.
It is a weird thing, but I got to tell you, I come here every year for Christmas, but I've spent a couple of years in Los Angeles, and the traffic empties out. But, you know, I agree. There's nothing like Christmas when you're used to the snow and the cold weather in Chicago. Nothing like it. And I love upstate New York, too. That's a cold climb.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Listen, I'm just glad you're showing off your musical chops. I've known how great a singer you were for years, and I think a lot of people did. But to be able to have everybody get a chance to see this, and I think it's pretty cool.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I always appreciate your support. You guys are the greatest.
Well, we're big fans. You know that. So the Christmas tour is on. Let me remind you again, you can follow Jane all over social media, at Jane Marie Lynch, at Jane Lynch Official, Jane Marie Lynch on Facebook and Twitter, Jane Lynch Official on Instagram, and obviously your website, janelynchofficial.com. Link to all the shows again. Tonight, the Batavia Arts Center. The Row tomorrow and Saturday, and then two shows Sunday at the beautiful City Winery. Let me get Susie in here before we say goodbye. Susie, say hi to your friend Jane.
Hey, Susie. Jane, you're fabulous. I just want to tell you I watched The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel the other day from start to finish. You were mesmerizing. You are so talented. I love you.
Thank you.
Steal the show, and it's hard to do from those two others, you know, from the one that plays Susie and from, of course, Rachel Brosnahan. You are so talented, amazing. You should be on Broadway singing. And I loved you from the first time I saw you in The Fugitive, I think.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh, sure. It's 1993, I think.
What's amazing about you is everything you do is fabulous, no matter the game show is comedy or whatever. I think you are it. You are fabulous.
Susie, you're fabulous.
And you look gorgeous in the show, too. But I laughed so hard.
Thank you. I'm so glad I made the call this morning.
No, it was great. I couldn't stop watching. I had to watch it to the end. Everyone in my family was saying I was like a zombie because I was watching it. But I couldn't wait to see what you did on the Broadway show.
Well, let me ask you a question, Susie. Susie, let me ask you a question before we run out of time. The story you tell later about talking to Jane Lynch on the phone, what would you like to tell people Jane Lynch said to you?
I'm so busy.
I love your run-on compliment to me. So
there you go.
I'm probably going to
I wanted to get it all in.
It's totally fine. You just got a story where Jane Lynch said she loves you. That's pretty good.
I love her.
Thank you, Susie.
Fabulous.
All right, Susie. Thank you for that. That's great.
Very kind of you.
She really made my day listening to her talk about you. You know what? Call her back and get her to compliment me for a few minutes. Listen, have a great time back in town. It's great of you to jump on short notice. Thank you.
Oh, you bet.
All right, see you soon.
Thank you. Take care. Have a good one. Happy holidays.
And to you. JaneLynchOfficial.com, and John Williams is coming up. The Northwestern Medicine News. What?
get me a live microphone.
Let's get him a live mic next.
You know, I've literally lost track. Is this our first week of the new schedule or second week?
I don't know.
Or is it the second week?
What is today?
It started December 1st.
Well, now we got to know what today is.
So today's the 12th.
This is the second week of our new schedule.
Week.
You know why I forgot? Because I've burned out brain cells getting up at 3 in the morning.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
How's the show?
How's the show?
Yeah,
oh, God, good. I don't know. Thank you, though, for
no,
saying
I really do.
Yeah. I'm learning my way, Steve.
It's funny, you said on the other day, I don't remember if it was the first show or not, but you said, I've done this for a long time, and it feels like the first time.
Very first time, yeah. My wife texted me, shut up. Or something like that.
That's the agent manager wife in her. That's good.
Somebody from Prairie State Legal Services is going to join us in the first hour. For all of those people whose pot convictions are getting overturned, or maybe for all of those people whose kids... pot convictions are going to get expunged. What does that mean? What has to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did... What?
They're going to explain it to you.
They are going to a little after the 9:30 news.
Okay, and you're on CLTV. Let's wave to the fine people
at
CLTV.
Hi, fine people at CLTV!
Remember me? I used to be on? Remember? Here's John, and, well, all right, after the news, which starts right now.